turn to Luke chapter 15. And we're going to look there. Terrierige grapje. But let's look in Luke chapter 15. Okay. So, I shared on with the men on Friday morning. I shared just regarding a lot of things. Some of them I will repeat tonight, but I think it's just Flip that's been there. I said, goodness, a funach check. It was only Flip. Okay, anyway, so for the rest of you, you get a little bit of a catch-up. But let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, your word is powerful. So, Lord, it's the only thing that can help us, Lord God, in any way. That this world, Lord God, hits us, Lord God, or lifts us up. God, everything is in your word. And Jesus, you are the word. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, that tonight as we read the word together, God, you will come and speak to us what you want us to see. Father, I pray, Lord, that every heart, Lord God, that needs to hear from you directly, Lord God, will do that tonight, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so you all know the parable of the lost son. We're going to, the parable of, but this in English, it is lost, no, parable of prodigal. There we go. Thank you. So the prodigal son, you know the story. We're going to get to that now. But I want to first just give you a little bit of a recap what happens before this from my own story. One day long, long ago when I was studying, like you guys. And you guys, I was studying in a little bit of a backsliding problem for that time. Okay, so it was I was still in church and I was doing a lot of churchy things and I was leading in church, but my life wasn't so up to standard with God's standard. Okay, it's never up to God's standard, but through the Spirit we can do that. But anyway, so I was in a bad space, and then I was supposed to go on an outreach around the country. So in this time, Satan was in my head a lot, and he said, you are useless because of your hypocrisy. You are saying to everybody you are this leader in church and you're doing all these things right, but you're not. You are a hypocrite because I know you. I see you. So what Satan does is he comes to us and he attacks us in that place. When we do stuff wrong, then he says, listen, you are a failure. You are useless. So I started to believe that because of all the things that I've done wrong. So I believed that I was useless. But then God is greater than my uselessness. When I'm weak, God is strong. So anyway, so now I'm getting to this place where I need to go on this outreach. It was like a 40-day outreach around the country. So we started in Stellenbosch, and then we went all around the country to the north through all those places, Mafeking or whatever, all those top places that none of you know about. But then we came down the west coast and then came down to Stellenbosch again. So that was what we did over a December holiday. So it's a long time that you are away. And then while we're doing this, or getting ready to do this, you know, you've got all these things that you need to do, and I'm sitting there, and I've already said I wanted to go, and I paid my money, and I was like, Jesus, I don't think I should go, because I'm useless. So I had to psych myself up to go, and I found one thing that was a positive for me in that time, on why I should go, because I've got nothing to offer anybody, according to Satan and myself, because I started to believe that. I've got nothing to offer anybody because I'm a hypocrite, I know that. But I've got a Code 10 license, and we're driving with a bus. Somebody needs to drive that bus. I'll be the bus driver. So I was the bus driver in my head. Okay, so I said, God, I know if I pull out now, there's not going to be a bus driver. And the other guy that's also a bus driver is going to drive too much, and that's dangerous. So I'll be the bus driver. With him. Only the bus driver. But Jesus, he's got different plans, man. He is amazing. So I get in the bus and I'm driving the first stretch from Stellenbosch to George. And George is our first stop. We're going to stop there at the AFM Church, Apostolic Faith Mission Church. And that evening, we stop there at about, say, 3 o'clock. That evening, 6 o'clock, we've got a youth event. So now I'm driving. And as I'm driving, here comes the team leader. He comes and stands alongside me because you can walk in the bus. So he stands there with me. He says, Duval. I say, yes, Yaku. You're going to share the word tonight. And I'm like, dude, are you sure? He says, yes. And then he says, God said that you must do that. And I'm like, ah, I don't know if you heard the Lord right. But anyway, no, I didn't say that. But anyway, so I think it was also a little bit of my ego still there. I'm thinking, oh, I can't tell him that I'm a little bit out of it, so I'll just do this. So get there. Stop, everybody packs off. Now I'm away in this place. I don't know. Now I'm like this. I need to open my Bible and find something. Oh, God is so great, you know. He's like awesome. So I open my Bible to this place and we're going to read together. So go there with me. Luke 15. New King James Version. Jesus is telling three parables, and we're just going to read them tonight. Okay, so let's read together. It says there in verse 1 of chapter 15, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this he spoke with us, and he says, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which was lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and he's rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner coming to repentance than over 99 just persons needing to have repentance. First parable. The second one that Jesus speaks, verse 8, says, or a woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Okay, so now I'm reading this. Well, the last one is going to be a little bit longer, starting here at verse 11. So I'm just going to paraphrase some of it so that you guys can follow with me. And then I start to read the parable of the lost son. And I go through it, and we'll go through it now in a little bit more detail with a different angle. But I just want to finish my story. So now I read the parable of the lost son. And for the first time in like what seemed like forever, I had this revelation from the scriptures. And as I'm reading this, God says, Duval, what do you see? I'm like, God, I see a lost sheep and a lost coin and a lost son. And he asked me, where are you? I'm a lost son. Because I know the Father. And then the thing that was in my heart was, you know, I was kind of like hoping that God would come and look for me. God is with us always through His Spirit. And He says, Duval, do you see these three things? Are you lost? Yes, a little bit, I know. But are you lost? Do you not know me? Yes, I know you, Father. And then He says to me, go and read that last parable again. Because you want me to come after you. But read this parable of the lost son. So I said, fine, God, let's do this. And we're going to do that tonight. So tonight, when I read this, I'm going to show you a couple of things that through the men's breakfast as well, I've shown to the guys, is there's a process for us of growing. growing in godliness, growing with God, that we can find from this scripture. This parable of the lost son. So, the first thing is, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion of goods so that I may have them. Okay, so he's saying to his father that's got a lot of stuff, that he wants his portion. He wants to go and, it says there, and he spent all of those things living a promiscuous life. It wasn't a nice life. Sexual immorality and a lot of stuff and things that he's done with this money that he's got. But anyway, the first place that we start is we start our relationship with God at a gimme phase. Gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. But that is what we do. And it's fine because if you become a parent and you've got a little baby there, that is fine. A newborn baby only wants all of you all of the time. Like he did in the beginning. And there's nothing that you can say to this little thing apart from, okay, so whatever. And that's okay. So the same thing with us spiritually. Sometimes, you know, when we just get saved, it's all right to have a gimme, 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 gimme attitude. Because that's what you need. If you're a baby, you need milk. You need to be helped to do a lot of things. So this boy, he starts off in this place where he says, Father, give me. Give me my portion. And if you're here tonight, many of us come to God for selfish reasons. And that's okay. You come to God either because, God, I don't want to go to hell. Please save me. Or your marriage is coming apart. Or your family is coming apart. Or your life is coming apart. And you say, God, give me. Help me. And that's okay. So the first part of being a Christian and growing in that place is this one. We start off in that place of give me. Anyway, so his dad gives him all of these things and he went off to a far country. And then he went, after he spent all of his things there, there was a severe famine in the land, verse 15 says, and then he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. So, before we go on with this part, I want to read you another scripture. The second part that we have in growing. Now, you're not, give me, give me, give me the whole time. Now you're starting to say, God, use me. Use me for your sake. Well, that's what you think, at least. But the use me in this beginning part of our journey with God is, you know, it's a use me so that I can look good to other people, maybe, sometimes. Use me so that I can feel important. So it's still a selfish place that we go from. Use me. And this was a cool thing in Philippians 2 verse 3. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Now, when we look at this word selfish ambition in Philippians 2 verse 3, that word in the Greek is one word. There's no separation there. There's not a separation between selfishness and ambition. And especially in our Western culture, sometimes we think if we've got ambition, that's a good thing. Because I can separate it from selfishness. But in all honesty, selfish ambition, it's one and the same thing. So when you have ambition, mostly it's going to be from a selfish place because you want that ambition. Why? Because you want some status or you want some money or you want some, I don't know what. But the second part of our growth as a Christian comes from that place, and it's all right. Again, it's fine. to say, God, use me in that place, even if it comes from a selfish place in our lives. Acts 8 verse 19, we find a sorcerer. So it's a guy that did some miracles and stuff, but he wasn't a Christian. He did amazing things, and everybody knew him. But then Paul and the apostles, they come about and they start to do these other great miracles that he's never seen before. And now he comes to them and he says to them, Luke 15, he says to them in Acts 8 verse 19, he says, "And give me this power also, so that everybody that I lay the hands on, they may also receive the Holy Spirit and these things." You can go and read the rest of that story in Acts 8, but Peter doesn't have some kind words for him. He says, "You are full of conceit and self-righteousness and a lot of stuff," and it's almost going to say, you're condemned to hell. Selfish ambition. Because he wants the Holy Spirit, he wants the gifts, but not for serving God. He wants it for looking cool and doing greater things so that he can look better. And then he was wise, at least, and he says, "Listen, please forgive me. Please pray for me that none of those things that you say will happen to me." And then he got properly saved. You know, and then obviously God could use that man from there onwards. So, anyway, back to this place that we are at now. Now, when we are in this first give me phase, and then the one use me, but it's a selfish thing, then we come to this place where this boy was. After he's joined himself and he wanted to eat some of the pods that the swine had, verse 17, he says, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have got bread enough and to spare? And I am perishing here with hunger. I will arise and I will go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but make me one of your hired servants.'" So, now we get to the third phase of our growth as a Christian. When we get to this place, this guy came to his senses. So, what this means is, when I read the scripture that first time going on this outreach, I'm reading this, and then I'm like, "Oh, honaki. Problem is with me." And it's kind of like God saying to me, "Deval, when are you going to come to your senses? How long will you continue along this path of nothingness? How long will you go and do what you know is not right and good for you?" And this was one of the tough things that I needed to learn as a Christian minister. Many times we are in the way of God's work because we want to help too much. Amen. Because it's a tough thing to send people to the pigs. You want to go to the pigs? Go! Go and feed yourself on some swine food if you can get some of that. Why? So that you can get to that place of coming to your senses. Because if you go and you are always, you know, and it's difficult with your children, obviously, it's very difficult. When you see, listen, this child of mine is going in this way all the time, and you go and rescue him constantly, guess what? When he's 40 years old, you're still going to have to rescue him because you are not letting him go to experience for himself and to come to his or her senses. Something that you need to do for yourself. It's something that you only experience when you are through the pig dung. And God is speaking to me, says, "Deval, so where are you at now?" I say, "God, yes. I'm ready to turn my heart back to you again. I'm ready to get back to that place of following you. Because here where I'm now, it's not so great. It's definitely not great." I remember in that time I was laying in bed when I wake up in the morning. And it was so vivid that I remember it to this day. You know, I would wake up You know that moment when you wake up and then everything is peaceful? And it was like kind of 1 or 2 or 3 seconds. And then as I'm getting to my senses after being asleep, it was like, literally it felt like something jumped on me. Yeah. I was like, ooh. And it was like, ugh. And then I got up, you know, I went through my day feeling constantly kicked in the stomach. Felt like constantly this thing was here, heavy on me. And then God said, Deval, you like it there? I said, no, God, I don't. And I had to turn to God and I had to do a lot of things. There was a lot of stuff that I needed to sort out, which I did. But anyway, so the third phase that we get to, after we come to that place, we ask, like verse 17, where he says, he got to his senses, he started to ask the right questions. When you start to ask the right questions, you say, God, search me. Look at me. Look at my heart. Look at my thoughts. And search me. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, we get this thing where David says this same thing. He says, God, search me. Know my heart. Test my thoughts. And see if there's any way of conceit in me, and lead me on the way that is eternal life. David had something down in that place where he said, God, search me. Search me and see if there's anything inside of me that is not pleasing to you. But we don't want to ask those questions. And unless, until we get to that place of the pig dung, then it's easier to ask those questions. To ask God, say, God, search me and see. Because God knows best. Then after this search me phase, and God's showing you a lot of things about yourself that you didn't even know, and it changes you, then we get to verse 19, which I've just read. I said, as he comes back to his father, he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And then these precious words, make me like one of your hired servants. He sees all these things. He knows that he's a son because he's got a father that he wants to go back to, this guy. And as he goes back to his father, then in this conversation in his head, he says, I'm not worthy to be your son, but he is a son. And then he comes to the place where he says, make me like one of your servants. Bring me to a place, God, where I serve you as a servant. Now that is something that only God can do in our hearts. Where we start to say to him, God, make me a servant. Make me like one of those that serve you because of who you are. Not because of all the stuff that I can get from you. So, continuing with our story here, then he musters all his strength and he gets up and he goes to his father. And then this cool thing. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and he had compassion on him. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Now, this is all this thing that is premeditated in his head. You know, he's worked out how he's going to say it to his dad. He's going to speak to him. And he's busy with his monologue. The father has got a sock with him. Nothing registers to that father. He's saying, making plans. My dead son is back. Let's make a merry party for him. He says there to his servants, he says, bring out the best robe and put it on him. You know, while he's still babbling on about not being his son, he's shouting, bring out the best robe and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf that we can kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this, my son, he was dead, now he's alive again. He was lost and now he's found. And they began to be Mary. Now, I love this story because it's just so dear to my heart. Because in that time when I'm reading through this, I know, you know, I'm not a lost coin or a lost sheep anymore. I'm a lost son. And the father's not running after me and saying, hey, Duval, come here, come here, come here, come here. And Jesus did that a lot too. He would offend people like insanely. You know the vampire sermon? If you don't drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you cannot have a part of me. Imagine that. Imagine I stand here before you as Jesus. Okay, but anyway, just for the sake of the argument. And I said, listen, if you don't drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you have no part of me. Who of you would have stayed? Including me. That's some crazy things there, man. And the worst thing for me from that story is Jesus didn't go as the people were leaving. He didn't go and say, no, this is just spiritual. He left them. And he turned to his disciples. He says, now you, do you also want to leave? But then they were, you know, they were like, they saw Jesus and then they said amazing things. They said, God, where should we go? You've got the words of eternal life. I'm going to stay with you. Jesus wants us to stay with him, even through the tough things. And the same thing he did to the rich young ruler. He was a rich man, he had a lot of stuff, and he comes to him and says, God, I want to be saved. I want to follow you. And then most charismatic leaders of today's church will say, yeah, it's fine, come to the front and repent and then pray this prayer. Jesus goes to his heart because he sees in him another God contending. And he says, okay, fine, you can do that. Go and sell everything that you've got, give it to the poor, and then you come and follow me. And he leaves him also to go, to get out, figure out the stuff for his own heart. And then later he came back. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that story now. But then lastly, in this story, verse 25, there's two boys in this story. And we focus on the first one a lot. But Jesus was so great when he told this parable because there's a lot of us that are in this place as well as the oldest son. Now the oldest son was in the field. And as he came and he drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of his servants and he asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry. And he would not go in. And therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you have never even gave me a young goat. Sound familiar? Gimme, gimme. My name's Jimmy. Even though I've been in the Father's house for so long. Even though I've done everything right. Even though I've been serving you all these years. We see that boy that stayed in the Father's house doing all those things has remained in the first place of being selfish. Of being in the give me mentality. He said, you never even gave me a young goat so I can go and make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead, and now he is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. So tonight I want to and leave that with you. You can go and read this again. Where are you? And it's not something that you grow into, you know. You don't start here and then you end here as a as a mold me, make me type of person, and then you are there always. You know, sometimes we move backwards. Sometimes we get back to a place of being, give me, very immature. And then God needs to walk a road again with us to get us to that place of, God, mold me. After you've searched me, God, and you showed me my stuff, mold me, make me as one of your hired servants. And then that night, when I got up to that stage, it was so great. This useless thing that I thought of myself of. I went up there and I shared this with all of those youth, and there was a lot of them there. And God moved mightily through me, a backslidden, useless son. That evening, before he had to go and make an altar call for some other people, got back to the Father. And he used me so mightily, and a lot of those children came to the Lord that evening, and it was such a blessing to me. And today still, whenever I don't feel worthy, regardless, you know, of stuff or things in my life, I know that God can use me because I've seen it. God can use me while I think I can only drive a bus to lead a lot of people to Christ, because it's not my glory, it's His. And He can use a donkey to do that. And that evening He chose to use me, and I'm so thankful, because from that place onwards, I haven't looked back since. So let us stand together as the alarm comes up. And I want us to pray together tonight.